Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, 1 through 3, verses 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had been promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, the God of Abraham and Isaac, of Sarah and Hagar, and the God of each of us, we ask you to be in this place with us, to speak to us through your words this morning. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I grew up in the San Joaquin Valley in Northern California on 4 acres outside of a small town called Oakdale. And right before I started middle school, my family moved out there from a large suburb called Modesto, where most of my extended family lived. And we moved to the small town called Oakdale, which had a big sign on the way into town that declared itself the cowboy capital of the world, which is quite a claim for a California town to make, but that's another story for another time. My family ran a small horse farm out there, and I remember having days when I felt really lonely and scared about making new friends as a fifth grader, and uncertain about my new school. I remember the new sound of crickets at night, something I'd never heard growing up in a suburb. The most exciting things I heard at night there were cars or trains, so I could not sleep a lot of the time. So on the nights when I couldn't sleep very well, I would go down the hill and stand in the barn. I would go down and I would stand in the barn and I would listen to the horses eat, and I would look up at the sky. The sky, which was crystal clear, and I could see the stars shining so brightly that they felt close enough for me to touch them. And on those nights, I felt God really close to me. even though the sky was so big and I felt so small. I felt in awe of God's magnitude, in awe of the beautiful and vast universe that God had made. And I wonder if Abraham and Sarah ever felt something similar as they stared up at the sky, recalling the promises that God had made to them, promises about the future of their family and the impact that their ancestors would have. I wonder if the stars ever overwhelmed them, if they felt too incredible to truly be the image of their children or the future of the world. There are some Hebrew translations that lift up Sarah as the one with the faith, the one who had the faith to conceive, not just Abraham with the faith to believe. And yet the author of Hebrews lifts up Abraham to us in this passage, one that is often called the Hall of Faith rather than the Hall of Fame. And this Hebrew book was written to a group of people who were facing a lot of persecution. The Roman Empire targeted these Christians because of the threat that they posed to the status quo. And they needed stories like these, stories to remind them of who had had the strength to keep going, who had survived so much. But as I sat with this text, I kept thinking about the ways that this story could be misconstrued into a manifest destiny kind of approach to life, that God has given us this land to take, so why don't we take it because it belongs to us, doesn't it? I couldn't help but think of my friend Cecilia, who is a fourth generation New Mexican, afraid of what will happen in her state, afraid of what will happen to her family. I couldn't help but think of the members of my own family who left Virginia to settle California, believing it was God's will for them to conquer the Wild West in the late 1800s. So I don't think that kind of translation is going to help us very much right now with this idea that there's a city out there waiting for us if we just believe hard enough. Or the idea that heaven is something we just need to hold out for, because that's just a good excuse to not do anything right now. I love old songs like I'll Fly Away. I know we've got a long list of those beautiful old hymns that tell us to just hold out and things will get better if we just wait long enough and believe hard enough. But I don't think that's going to help me very much right now. I don't know about you, church, but I don't need that right now. I don't need someone to tell me to just stuff down what I'm feeling and not deal with what's going on in the world. But I need those stars right now. I need those stars to keep on shining and reminding me that I'm part of something bigger that I don't fully understand. And I wonder if you need those stars too. If you need those stars to shine down on you and remind you that you are not alone in this big universe that mysteriously knits us all together. One thing I find so puzzling about stars is that they are actually the past. Because when we're looking at stars, I didn't say this in the children's sermon because it's a little bit like brain exploding, and I honestly find it hard to understand myself, and I imagine my scientists in the room will like appreciate this, but when we look at the stars, we're actually looking at light that's been traveling for a really long time. We're not really looking at the stars at all. And if we were, we couldn't handle it. Like, our little human eyeballs could not just sit in front of a star. We would burn up, because stars are the sun. But the light that we love, the constellations that we've studied, the beauty of the sky at night, it's all the past. We're looking at our past to guide us, looking at our past to show us how to chart out maps and figure out where things are on the open sea, when we are looking at ways to move around in the world. And I just find that to be so fascinating. That when we're looking at the stars, we're not really looking at something that we can really understand as a star. We're looking at light that has traveled for a long time to get to our little planet in the big, big universe. And I feel like that's kind of what happens when we are encountering one another and paying attention to what God is doing inside of us. I don't necessarily think that our past is something we need to repeat all the time, because there's a whole lot of church that we don't want to go back and redo based on some of the stuff I mentioned and other things that I have not. There's a whole lot of the things that have happened in the hundreds of years that the church has been around that we would like to leave behind. But there are things that are threads, like the way that light travels for thousands of years to get to us, to show us the way to go around our little ball in the sky. It's that kind of looking at the past that I hope that God will remind us of today in this book this morning. That when we look at the way that faith has been shaped, and when God tells Abraham that his descendants will be like the stars in the sky, I hope that those stories of the ones who've come before us remind us that we are not by ourselves, that we're not doing this alone, that we have come a long way, and there's still a long way to go. We have not arrived, and I find that kind of comforting, that the light in the sky that guides us has been traveling a long way to get to us, and that light will keep on shining, showing us the way to go. So don't let your eyes get too tired as you stare up at that sky. Don't let your heart get too weary of trying to figure out what the way is. Because faith is remembering what has already happened before and believing that it can happen again. It may not feel easy. It rarely does, especially for folks who are critical thinkers or have deeply held convictions about the world. There's nothing in that story about Abraham and Sarah that's easy, quite frankly. Abraham messes up a whole lot, and so does Sarah, and so do their descendants. I think the Hebrew book is kind of interesting, too, because none of that stuff is in there. It's all the highlights. It's like when you're reading a book that's a biography about somebody, and they leave out all the juicy details about the ways that they messed up. That's kind of what the book of Hebrews is. There's none of those juicy, like, fun details. But if you go back and read about their lives in Genesis and other places, that's where you can really, like, get into the mess of it. Like, there's nothing in there about Abraham telling everybody in Egypt that his sister was his wife, or his wife was his sister. He told everyone that Sarah was his sister. That way he wouldn't get in trouble with the Pharaoh. He was for sure that something bad was going to happen to him if they knew that Sarah was married to him because she was so good looking. And he gets in even more trouble because he does that. There's nothing in the book of Hebrews about Sarah laughing at God when three angels show up for her to feed them and they remind her of the promise that God has made. There's nothing in there about Sarah and Abraham trying to co-opt the promise by making Abraham sleep with Sarah's servant so that way they can have a child because they don't believe that it's possible for God to really fulfill God's promise. None of that made it in there. But that kind of stuff is important because the faith that we have is messy, and the people that we read about in this book of stories and poetry and history are messy people like us. But yet God still did something with them, with this like motley crew of people that we call our ancestors of faith. So when you look up at that sky, I hope you see some messy, lovely portraits of these people looking down at you. That the stars that you follow at night guide you home. And that you know that you are not alone. Amen.